Hello and welcome to this week's edition of the Video News In-Screen Media Podcast. This is Will Richmond from Video News and Colin Dixon from In-Screen Media, my weekly partner, is here with me on the line. Hi there, Colin.
Hi there, Will. And it's been a busy week this week in our business, but as we promised last week, we are going to do a few predictions and a few mea culpas this week. We're going to look at the year ahead and look at what we said would happen in 2015. We got a lot of ground to cover today, haven't we?
We do have a lot of ground to cover. So why don't we go ahead and jump in? We're going to come back with here four big predictions in 2016, and then four smaller ones. And then, as you said, we're going to kind of review some of what we predicted for 2015, give ourselves some scoring, keep ourselves honest, a little bit of accountability, always a good thing. So why don't you go ahead and get us started with your first big prediction for 2016?
Well, I think a lot of people will be nodding their head or saying that this is obvious, but I think data is going to be one of the biggest motivators in our industry for 2016. It certainly was or began to be in 2015. There's been a lot of angst at not being able to get visibility on how well things are doing on Netflix, and Netflix is still keeping that data close to their chest. But this, I think, is going to reinforce particularly to premium TV providers that they must get that data, because what's very clear is Netflix is using that data to drive just about every aspect of their business, as are companies like Hulu, Crackle, and all of the online providers. They're getting a whole bunch of information that just isn't available to the premium TV providers in cable TV. So I think this on its own will be one of the biggest drivers to push those guys to get VOD services or SVOD services online, so that they get access to that data, or at the very least launch TV Everywhere authenticated apps so that they can track usage through those. This has probably been the issue I have heard about most this year, Will. And data is really beginning to be a huge issue, or lack of data rather, in pay television. Linda Yaccarino, who is a senior executive at NBCU, has been complaining a lot about this, and she's got a couple of really juicy quotes. She says there's nothing total about Nielsen's metric, their total audience metric, if you ask me. And she says, imagine you're a quarterback and every time you threw a touchdown, it was only worth 4 points instead of six. That's basically what I'm dealing with every friggin' day. So some tough talk there. And I think everybody realizes that when you get online, you got more data than you know what to do with. So I think that is going to be a massive motivator this year.
Well, you're certainly not going to hear any disagreement here, Colin. And, I wrote earlier last year that data is the new king, and I continue to believe that. And my first prediction for 2016 feeds right into that, which is something that I called out as one of the big stories of 2015. And I see that rolling right into the new year here, which is that Amazon continues to be ascendant in the video space. And we've had this discussion before, and I just continue to get more and more enthusiastic about Amazon's position. They are not perfect by any stretch, and their ongoing kind of lack of implementation of the streaming partners program with SVOD partners on their own Fire TV devices really, I think, illustrates that they are not perfect. But I do believe they've got a lot of the pieces required to be a bigger player in video falling into place here. We've talked before, of course, about the enhanced Fire TV devices with 4K, the ability to do downloads in their video app. Of course, the streaming partner program that I just mentioned, the ramp up of originals, and by the way, getting awards for those originals also, as we just saw with Mozart in the Jungle in the Golden Globes case. second year in a row that they won Best Comedy. So they are definitely, I think, making great progress. And there was just actually a little data hit earlier today that 38% of all U.S. homes now subscribe to Prime. I'm not sure that I believe it's quite that high, but that was at least one survey's answer on that. And Prime is the engine. Prime is the engine for Amazon's video ambitions, and collecting all that data on what people purchase and watch and use just feeds right into enhancing the video part of Amazon Prime. So lots of different reasons, not least of which the basically unlimited financial resources that Amazon has to throw at video makes me very bullish on them in 2016.
Yeah, I think, I mean, I somewhat agree with you on that, although I think that Amazon's implementation of many of the things that they try and do, even on their own devices, is, I think, incomplete and not intuitive, and that could be a real problem. The other, just one quick comment about that, the 38% number, that is Prime members, not Prime video users.
Right, of course.
I know you know that. I just wanted to remind our listeners that there's no way there's that many people using Prime Video. And all the indications are that Prime Video users watch much less long than Netflix users watch that service. So there are some big differences there. But, boy, they do really seem to be making progress, don't they?
Yeah, and why don't you carry on to number three, which also ties into Amazon.
In a way, yes, it sure does, and that's connected TV. I think it looks like connected TV is really beginning to gather steam. Conviva released some data, I think, this week that said that the average number of monthly minutes in Q3 of 2015 through connected televisions increased from 260 to 290 or 296 or somewhere in that region. So quite a big increase. We're also seeing this in the UK. UK released data saying that now over the holiday period, 38% of what they call unique browsers were on connected TVs. So when they say unique browsers, they mean unique people watching video on that device. So big increases there. And what I think this is being driven by, Will, is that what we're seeing is SVOD has sort of crossed a barrier in the US. It's now in more than 50% of homes. So we're getting into the late adopters, those people that aren't necessarily very tech savvy and certainly don't jump on the new. They tend to wait. They are now coming, and their comfortable device for watching video is not mobile. It's the television. And we're pretty fortunate now because all of the bugs and problems with getting that set up at the TV, I think, have been ironed out. Most homes now have Wi-Fi securely installed because they're using tablets and other devices through that Wi-Fi network. And so it really is easy to hook the TV up. So going to be a big year for connected TV, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I'll just one quick comment, Colin, is I think it's just remarkable how quickly online video has been transformed from a short form only, desktop only experience to a long form connected TV type of experience. We've witnessed that transformation over the past few years, and it's really incredible how quickly it's happened.
Oh, I totally agree with you there, but we should probably jump on to our number four.
Definitely, and number four is maybe the most controversial of the four, but I'm going to go ahead and stick my neck out just a little bit to say that despite all of the cord-cutting rhetoric and certainly all of the cord-cutting that's happening in reality, cable providers, not all pay TV providers, but cable providers are actually going to have a pretty decent year, pretty decent 2016 in the video business. And this is actually something that I wrote about just earlier this week. 2015, Craig Moffitt, analyst that Moffitt Nathanson and I very much agree that cable has probably weathered the worst in terms of the competition from telcos and satellite. It now has better broadband service, better video services, better in-home devices, And all of that is really helping insulate them somewhat from the effects of cord cutting. It's really satellite and telco that are bearing the brunt. So 2015, cable as a whole probably lose about 500,000 subs. Admittedly, down is the new up, but that is actually just a third of what the industry, what the cable industry lost just 2 years ago. So that's pretty remarkable improvement. You and I have talked many times throughout 2015 about Comcast and X1 and what a big success that's been. I think we're going to see more of that type of set-top coming into the market from other operators in 2016. And all in all, I think that bodes for cable operators that it's going to be a pretty decent year.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. X1 certainly is a great-looking platform. I know that Cox just licensed the X1 platform. And so hybrid, I think we've talked about hybrid all of last year. Hybrid boxes are just really important for operators to have in their customers' homes. The ability to blend internet-delivered content with television content is absolutely critical. And so, I think you're probably right in as much as the cable will stem their losses a little bit. But I still think it's funny to be celebrating a loss as a gain.
Well, I don't think anyone in the cable industry is doing a victory lap, Colin, but I think they are at least feeling a little bit better than they were a year or 2 years ago.
I think I agree. I have to say, SVOD, we're going to see SVOD really blossom a lot more this year as well, as I mentioned earlier, and I think we're going to talk about that again in just a second. But this really is beginning to put pressure on the pay TV model now. And I think one of the reasons why Craig is still calling for losses in cable overall and actually bigger losses in pay TV overall, I think he was saying about 1 million would vacate the service in this year. I think it could actually be more than that. So this is all pressure, I think, from OTT services like Netflix, etc. So anyway, we'll see what happens.
Well, Colin, those are our big four for 2016, but we wanted to give kind of a quick honorable mention to a few other trends that we're keeping an eye on, and we're just going to go back and forth super quickly here. So why don't you get us started?
Yeah, my quick trend to watch is what I'm calling new linear. I'm seeing a reemergence of linear channels online with services like Pluto TV, and Crackle is employing this sort of approach. It makes a lot of sense. I think there's still a great, it still provides a lot of utility to just be able to tune into something and let it play in the background. And I think it's going to reinvigorate the linear experience online. It'll be a bit different, playlisted and based on preference and customized, and even maybe some programmatic TV going on here. But linear is coming to online. What's your first one?
Well, we'll talk about how linear did in TV in just a minute when we go through our 2015 recap. But quickly on my side, and I think you've already mentioned this a little bit, but we're going to see more of these SVOD service launches in 2016, no doubt. CBS and CW, we were just talking about one the other day. We had the CISO launch from NBC already this year. So I think we're going to see more of that this year. But at the same time, I think as the year closes out, 2016 closes out, I think the bloom is going to be somewhat off the rose on these SVOD services. It's going to become starting to become clear, I think, as the year goes on, just how hard these SVOD services really are to take off, and how reluctant consumers are to subscribe to really more than just a handful of them. So I am very cautious on this whole SVOD trend that we see unfolding now.
I agree. Definitely fatigue. And I think one of the solutions to that, Will, I think we'll see reemergence of free and the concept of freemium. So there'll be a lot of people that realize, well, I could probably do better with advertising supported and then try and get some people to subscribe to get rid of the ads. My next one is live sync online, and you all have seen this. You're watching something on your tablet and somebody's got it on in some sporting event in another room on television, and you are way behind their feed. This is going to become an increasing problem this year as people look to do things like multi-camera angles and some other effects that they want to use with synchronized streams. And this, you just can't get proper synchronization online without doing some pretty nasty things like delaying everything so that everybody waits on the slowest stream. And so I think this is going to be an emerging problem this year.
Yeah, I hear you. And the last one quick that we're going to talk about is that I think there is lots of good reason to be bullish on online video advertising in 2016. And programmatic's role in it in particular. So eMarketer's new forecast for online video advertising is about $10 billion in the U.S. in 2016. Magna Global's estimate for programmatic's piece is about $3 billion. And I think it's becoming clearer and clearer everywhere we go that brands, advertisers really like online video advertising and are starting to move more and more dollars over to it. And we're really starting, I think, to see some of the impact of that on TV networks themselves. Turner deciding to cut back on the amount of ad load in its specific programs. Pretty clear evidence. Donna Speciale talked about that at the Shift conference in early December, how she feels the existing TV experience is just not competitive with an ad-free SVOD experience. So that's, I think, tip of the iceberg. We're seeing a lot of the TV networks really beef up their data, their data infrastructure in order to be more competitive with the extent of data that's available in online video advertising. So again, very bullish on both those areas. Just parenthetically, Video News will be doing its two conferences again this year on both online video advertising and then programmatic toward the end of the year. So an area that I keep a very close eye on and continue to be very optimistic about.
Yeah, me too. I think it's programmatic. I think that estimate could be a little low. I thought it might be a lot higher than that, but we'll see. Yes, indeed.
Well, Colin, we want to be a little bit accountable, some self-accountability here as we go back and review what we predicted in 2015 and how that played itself out. Accountability is not something ordinarily associated with online punditry. So
this is a good thing. This is a good thing. Well, why don't we
rise above a little bit here?
Yeah, yes, rise above. So why don't you go first? I think you had something you forecast Facebook would be a huge force. So I think you get to say that was right.
Yeah, going into 2015, I was pretty bullish on Facebook's role, and they, of course, really blossomed in 2015 in video. According to their measures anyway, they're doing 8 billion views a day. That number is still from October, November. That was up from 4 billion in April. Now, Facebook video is not without its controversy, as you and I talked about previously on this podcast. They measure a video view after just a few seconds versus the conventional kind of 30-second mark that others use. There's this whole notion of freebooting where videos are downloaded from YouTube and then re-uploaded natively in Facebook. There's rampant copyright issues. So the Facebook numbers, I think, need to be taken with a bit of a grain of salt. But that said, there were also lots of different stories and case studies that emerged during the year talking about how video worked really well for advertisers in terms of getting their messages out in a much more, much quicker and more robust way than in any other way that they had used before. So, and certainly with Facebook's scale now doing, a billion concurrents on a given day, Facebook is a force to be reckoned with. And I think they really emerged in 2015. There's still lots and lots more work for them to do, but I think it's a real priority for them now.
Yeah, I totally agree. And we're actually with Periscope live feeds now showing up in Facebook feeds. That could help drive it some more, couldn't it?
Mm.
And I think I forecast SVOD service launches, lots of them, and well, I think I get to claim victory there. HBO Now, of course, was probably the biggest, but it was joined by Showtime, CISO, and even Disney got into the act late in the year with Disney Family in Europe. So I think I get to claim victory on that one, Will.
All right, I'll give you some credit on that for sure. We already talked about that. I'm somewhat skeptical as we go into 2016. Another one of my 2015 predictions was that linear ratings would continue to decline. And boy, did that ever happen in a big way. Here's just a few data points that I pulled. According to Nielsen, primetime ratings only increased for three networks in 2015. That was AMC Networks, HGTV, and Investigation Discovery. Those are the only three that increased in primetime. Of the 22 that declined, now we're talking about the top 25 rated networks. So of the top, of the 22 that declined, 16 of them had double digit declines during prime time. The worst performer was History, which was down 27%. The average decline in prime time of those 16 networks, of those 23 networks, I'm sorry, of the 22 networks, sorry, I'm kind of stumbling here a little bit, but the 22 networks that declined in 2015 averaged a 12% decline in 2015 in prime time. That's a pretty alarming performance. Sports, of course, as always, was really the only thing that propped up prime time. And if you add sports in, then obviously the picture changes a lot, and sports accounted for basically all of the biggest audiences seen during prime time. So linear ratings were predicted to decline, and sure enough, they did decline.
Yeah, and of course, we saw big drops, particularly in the young, double-digit percentage year-over-year declines in the young, which is where a lot of that is focused. I think another one of my predictions that we would see OTT apps on operator set-top boxes and in operator networks, and we did see that, although I don't think it's nearly enough. I think operators should have been moving much, much faster. We saw Hulu reach agreement with several operators, including Cablevision and Mediacom. Netflix, of course, is on Dish Hopper, and is also on Mediacom and Suddenlink. So we should see continue to see a lot more of that this year as well.
Yep.
Yeah,
and I'll just as we start to wind down, I will cop to my biggest mistaken call, which was that I really saw both Comcast, Time Warner Cable, and the AT&T Direct TV mergers being approved. Of course, only the latter was approved, and it was closed. The Comcast, Time Warner Cable just ended up coming under so much different scrutiny and got sort of bogged down that Comcast decided to pull out. Then Charter came in. They are still awaiting approval on that proposed deal. So that was probably my biggest missed call in 2015, expecting Comcast with its formidable lobbying operation would get that Time Warner Cable deal through, and it did not do it.
It didn't indeed. And my biggest miss, I think, was saying that there'd be a lot more operators moving into the cloud. I am sorry to say that I was wrong, because I really still strongly feel that operators need to do this as fast as they can. The fact that they haven't could be a huge problem for them down the road. So, but that was probably my biggest miss.
Well, all in all, I'd say we did at least pretty decently. I'm not sure I'd give us a straight A, but maybe an A minus or a B plus, Colin. What do you think?
something like that. I think we passed the class, Will.
We passed the class for sure. Hopefully listeners will be back again next week. But no doubt it's going to be a busy 2016. We already have lots of different moving pieces here, and it's going to be fun to see how our predictions play out, and also what new surprises come up.
I can't wait to see what happens with things like virtual reality. See if we can come up with anything that seems to work for consumers in dramatic delivery, scripted video through virtual reality. We'll wait and see if that happens.
And looking nearer term, I'm looking forward to next week seeing Netflix's Q4 and full year 2015 U.S. subscriber additions, because As I mentioned last week, I worried a little bit that them rushing to get that global rollout in there a year in advance may have been done to help mask some continued softness that they saw in the U.S. A piece of research came out just yesterday saying that they believe, this research firm does indeed believe, that Netflix is going to come in soft on Q4 domestic sub ads. So very curious to see what happens next week when they report.
Yeah. I'm expecting about 45 million in the US, 30 million international for 75 million overall. And that will be about two million added, which is actually lower than they got last year and the year before, much lower than the year before. So there is softness there. And I actually, by the end of next year, by the end of this year, 2016, I'm expecting to see, well, big growth in international, from 30 million to 45 million because of this early global footprint that they've got, and some more modest gains in the U.S. to 50 million to finish about 95 million, something like that. But I guess we'll have to wait and see what happens next week for Q4.
And we'll keep a close eye. I think that's all we've got for this week, Colin. We covered a lot of ground, so great pleasure as always.
And the same to you, Will.
And thanks, everybody, for listening in on this week's edition of the Video News and Screen Media Podcast. This is Will Richmond from Video News, and we will see you all again next week.